This passage I read out of Psalm 13, the title of the sermon, A Spiritual Alka-Seltzer for the Soul. Well, last night I had a literal encounter with Alka-Seltzer. I had a little indigestion, so I took me a Alka-Seltzer, and I thought, well, this is more than coincidence that I'm taking one, and my sermon title has the same product involved in it. Fortunately, I got better, so there's no problem with this. In this passage, the psalmist David asked God, had he forgotten his people? You know, so many moments of life are faced with mountains of trepidation, fear, troubles, and just plain headaches. There are people, including us, who have lost hope and motivation in their lives because of calamity and chaos hitting them in their faces. And we all have had that to happen, or maybe going through it right now. Do you ever feel like sometime when you're over a crisis and you'll think, well, when's the next one coming along? Have you ever had that moment? Well, it happens to all of us. But you know, no one is immune to crisis, but neither does a crisis have to paralyze us at all. When those dark clouds surround us, it's easy to think that God has abandoned us for the enemy. Well, you know, as a missionary, and you've heard me talk about this several times, I was periodically reminded to expect a syndrome called culture shock. Well, culture shock occurs when a person leaves their country, or if you move, say, from Florida maybe to Montana. I mean, it can be out of your home turf, and it can be very alien and strange to move from one section of the country to the other. You don't necessarily have to go to Nigeria to have culture shock. It usually happens more frequently when the language and the culture and religion is opposite of one's own background or heritage. To make a long story short, I kept waiting for the calamity of a lifetime to occur, but did it happen? Well, of course it did, but however, not in earthquake proportions, only in small doses. However, I realize something now that I did not think about then, was that my supervisors were not attempting to frighten me nor others for possible situations which had been a proven fact. The mission agency knew from previous incidents overseas that when a missionary is facing trouble, the first thing to falter is one's faith. I have met people, and I remember in seminary, and I've met people up till just a few days ago, they are so sure about their faith, they are arrogant about it. Well, guess what? I've also seen those same people when the railroad car jumps the track. Their faith fragments into a million pieces. Now, why am I saying that? Because their focus was upon themselves and not upon God. And see, that is a warning to us. We have to be careful about our faith focus, because if we allow it to veer off track, we can get into trouble for that. And of course, we all have a bellyache, spiritual bellyache at one point in our lives. It may be that in our desperate thinking that God doesn't do enough for us. God never forgets about us, especially when we are in difficult situations, even though it seems that our prayers never make it above the kitchen ceiling. It says in Psalm 13:2, and I just read it, but I'll read it again. How long must I be hiding daily anguish in my heart? How long shall my enemy have the upper hand? Well, it's imagined that those problems must be our burdens exclusively. We have a patent and copyright on all our burdens and problems. God desires to help us without hesitation, and such crushing dilemmas do not have to be carried by us. You know, there's a book by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. You know, Pilgrim carried a big sack on his back, and that was all his burdens and sins that he could have let go if he had known about it. He did later on. But that was his burden. He carried a big sack on his back. You know, we may not have enemies in the general sense, but there are moments of disagreements which overwhelm us. King David, who is credited with Psalm 13, prayed to God to respond about difficulties when gloom and doom was encroaching around him. David may have referred to the threat of King Saul. Last Sunday's sermon had to do with Samuel going to Bethlehem to anoint David as the new king of Israel. So David has his issues, or maybe later on this could have been written concerning his rebellious son Absalom. David needed speedy relief and recovery, just as Alka-Seltzer propaganda promises soothing liberation from upset tummies. Since we all are prone to judging, how do we know what our neighbors are going through at this moment? I see you sitting out there, you know. I don't know what you encountered before you came here, what you went through the day before. I do know that people will contact me when there's an issue. I had a call yesterday from a former member in my church, one of my churches up in Kentucky, and she was telling me about a close friend of mine in that church, and her nephew was getting ready to graduate police academy, age 24, and he turned a gun on himself night before last and committed suicide. I don't know the details. I'm going to call her tonight and find out what it's all about. But see, there's a lot of things go unanswered. And we question God. Why did things like that happen? Why, you know, that Rabbi Kushner had, but why do good things, bad things happen to good people? And it will happen to most of us in our lifetimes because we are human beings. And we can only have superficial speculation, and that isn't much, about our friends, family, and neighbors unless they tell us. Vocalist Bing Crosby had an old song called Try a Little Tenderness. And that song, such tenderness can also be applied in the form of compassion and patience on our part. You know, we pretend to not want people to know our true feelings, so we keep that stiff upper lip on those personal problems. However, if you noticed, and this happens to a lot of us, there is hurt felt when others don't sympathize with us, even if they don't understand our situation by our silence. Sometimes silence is golden, sometimes silence can be hurtful. Now, most of the time, we don't want everybody to know our private business, and that's understandable. But sometimes it's good to have a friend or a family member you can confide in when you're going through a troublesome period. King David said something that is, in fact, mentioned almost 200 times in the Bible. And you know what the word is? Our money and license plates have it on them. It says, in God we trust. But is that just a cozy statement or a fact? Do we, if you look at your coins, or maybe you have that license plate, I have a Polk County license plate, but if you do see in God we trust, is that, can we really do that? It's hard to give up our self-will. It's hard to give up our individualism and yield to God. Why? We want to be in control. How many times have you launched into something you should have confided and trusted in God, and it didn't go as well as you thought it did? Get in the habit of asking God to help you out in everything, not just a select few items. If you do that, God is more than glad to come to your aid. And it doesn't have to be a mountain of problems. It can be a slight issue. But God is still very gracious about helping you out and helping me out. And we must trust God without doubt or hesitation if we truly are going to survive and overcome life's obstacles. People usually do not come to Christ because of doubt and lack of trust. And incidentally, trust is a sibling to faith. Think about that. Trust is a sibling to faith. Life does yield disappointments, but wait. Think for a moment about a colossal problem that possibly occurred 10 or 20 years ago or even a week ago in your life. It is now resolved in perhaps even a distant memory. It may be difficult to remember the details. At the time, it seemed impossible that you were going to get through it, but you made it, didn't you? God helped you to victory, and He can do so again if there is faith and trust in Him. I think if we live more of a faith-based and trust-based life in God, that life would be so much better. But most of us don't, and we go right along scuffing our shoes and tripping and falling when we know that God could have helped us out in that. You know, I haven't done it here much, but in previous churches, I have looked over old session minutes, you know, from years past. Some of them are over 100 years old, and some of them always made me chuckle and see what the current crisis of the day was. You know, such one entry out of the church I was at 15 years ago or longer, I'll always remember that. I was looking in the church session minutes and recorded that the church session was going to leave it to the preacher to decide on whether short skirts on flappers were decent or indecent. Or perhaps, now this is funny for those of you who are in music, whether or not the church should invest in choir robes because they don't want formalism to set in the church service. Now, we chuckle and laugh about that today, but you know, that was a crisis 100 years ago, and even earlier than that, there were some churches, Presbyterian in fact, didn't know whether they should sing hymns or psalms. That was a very big issue at one time, too. But we look back and we laugh about it, but think about current issues, you know, that we deal with, you know. But it was a crisis then. It isn't to say there was a lack of sincerity, but some issues are highly emotional. Just remember something profound. And this doesn't have to mean choir robes or flapper skirts. All things shall come to pass. You think about that. Time will have its way to take care of that with God's help. So don't get caught up in the heat of the moment, which creates conflict. But remember that in 75 years or so, there may be another nosy preacher come along and poke his nose into reading our current session minutes. Of course, the biggest fear we have about that is he might get bored and fall asleep, you know. But that may not happen. That may happen. You never know. But you know, most issues aren't worth getting ulcers or wrinkles over, whether it's flappers or choir robes, maybe even tattoos and body piercings, you know. Today, you know, so, you know, we've got all that, but for once in a lifetime, I'd like to see a church split over theological issues rather than if the parking lot stripes should be painted yellow or white. You know, it's interesting. We can pick on the minor a lot of times and lose a lot of ground. Just remember that our faith journey should not become chained so closely to certain things or traditions. Now, I'm not saying tradition is wrong. We need tradition. But if it becomes the crux of our worship, then something's wrong. Now, I'm not saying to throw out the baby with the bathtub water or anything like that. But are there things in your life that perhaps you might need to talk to God about that may be a stumbling block for you to have a closer relationship to Him? That happens to all of us. It happens whether we like it or not, because stagnation and spiritual decline could set in quickly. A grateful heart will always be thankful to God. If we would all spend more time and being thankful to God and expressing it, there would be less complaining and ulcers. You think about that. And what went on 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago? Hey, you can't change the past. You're living in the present. But maybe you can prepare for the future. You know, a lot of mistakes are made because we don't prepare to alleviate those problems in advance. But I know some people love to stir the cauldron up, don't you? And they like to keep it going. Well, you know what? Nobody's going to be a winner in that. There's a word that circulates around today called, try to be a reconciliator. Don't be a warlord. Don't beat the tom-toms, you know. That can cause more problems than it is worth. And if we were to be thankful to God, more and more our lives would be more contented and peaceful. The most important matter to remember is that God's grace is certain, God's grace is steady, and God's grace is always there. Have you ever experienced? I hope you know that this morning that it is possible. Now you understand the ingredients for the plop, plop, fizz, fizz of a spiritual Alka-Seltzer to calm your soul. It is being at peace with God and others. But let me remind you, it starts with you, along with God's help and input. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we evaluate our lives and our faith journey, we pray that we will always glorify you and give you the credit for everything. Help us, O Lord, when we encounter things that causes us grief. Help us, O Lord, when we receive that mail and open the envelope and it's not good news. Let us go to you about it. Let us always remember that you are there for us because you love us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son. And we know that, O Lord, as a proven fact. We pray that we may continue to grow in our faith and be there for others, O Lord, because that's what it's all about, that our faith eventually will reflect your love to the world. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.